Hey, good evening. Are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing? Trouble getting to sleep, trouble falling asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's running through your brain, whatever's got you tossing and turning. You know, if your mind's running, or you can't keep, you say you're trying to figure something out, or you can't forget something, whatever it is, I'm going to distract you from that. I'm going to tell a story. It's going to be, my voice will be as lulling, soothing. The story will be meandering. It'll be somewhat pointless, a little bit dull, forged in neither a forge nor a, you know, or anything containing any iron or fire. Forged in a plush, with a plush, what the hell are those things called? It's anvil. Forged at a plush anvil, with a plush hammer, and, you know, liquid, you know, with feathers instead of molten metal. That's how my stories are forged. A little bit of plush, a little bit of leather. No, feathers, not leather. Oh, boy. No leather here. a little bit of pleather, probably. And, you know, you see a bit of silliness, clearly, because you say, Jesus, this guy, does he speaks words. He doesn't even, he's laughing at his own words, because he says, geez, where'd that word come from? Oh, it came out of your mouth, sir. But that's what I'm going to do here. I'm going to start telling a story. You could call me your boar friend. You could call me your boar bro, your boar cuz, your boar sib, whatever makes you comfortable. The key thing is you don't got to call me. I show up on your RSS podcast feed, you know, semi-uninvited, but I'm just there. It's like I'm the neighbor, you know, standing, you know, say, hey, neighbor, come on, you know, oh, did you call me? You need me to come over and tell you some lulling tales of packed full of boredom. You know, should I bring my plush iron, my plush, what is it called again, anvil? And, you know, I have my bib, my pleather bib, you know, my fake, I pretend I'm a smithy of story. Stories that don't go anywhere. Well, they can't, they go somewhere, but you know, it's like, well, I guess this is the podcast equivalent of a Sunday drive. Now, if you were born, if you're under 30 or maybe even under 35, you might be like, what the hell's a Sunday drive? Back when gas didn't cost any money and people only had broadcast television, or, you know, they had cable, but cable was, you know, didn't have high quality programming, and you didn't have any DVRs, and it wasn't anything that you say Sunday afternoon if it's not, you know, your sporting season. You say, geez, I can't sit around the house with all these kids and get, you know, God, we don't have, you know, some sort of entertainment unit for each child here. Let's pack them in the car. We'll drive around. You know, I'll turn on the radio. We'll get out of the car. We'll go to the bathroom. We'll look at something. And you say, honey, well, honey, where are you planning on going? Sunday drive, my dear. We'll find out as we, it's about the journey. And she say, well, what is it about the trip? Well, we got to get this whole Sunday, and we got nothing to do. So let's, you know, kill 3 or 4 hours here with the Sunday drive. The kids, it helps their medulla, be the vibrations of the road. The dulcet sounds of NPR on a Sunday. Honey, you already said the dulcet. Oh, I was going to say the hum of the tires. Well, that's the same thing as the... Okay, dear. And, you know, you pack the kids in. They'll ask for ice cream. We'll say, well, man, you know, no. And they'll act out, but this is how we do things. Well, you know, we're going to go down that one road, State Route County 5. You know, we heard about the hickory tree that was split in the great storm of recent times. And they say it looks like a dragon's face. So let's go look at that. I don't even know how to get there. We don't have any convenient GPS apps. Or a forum that says, you know, tree face forum, where you say, no, that tree doesn't look like a dragon. It doesn't look like anything. Is it? You know, we'll find out. That's this podcast. And if you see, if you've been on a Sunday drive, you're like, man, I thought a Sunday drive was dull and pointless. This guy's description of a Sunday drive, well, in some sense, it really does a Sunday drive justice. He didn't mention the tears or the trauma that he just mentioned it. And say, gee, remember, say, you know, all things considered on the weekend. And maybe you get a little Garrison Keillor, who may have been supplanted in my subconscious that led to this podcast from my Sunday drives. And you say, well, geez, a podcast, okay, all right. I do remember, you know, to steal my nerves, I would drift off into some state of sleepy state as a child. It was also because my father refused to roll the windows down and gave us all a double dose of Benadryl, but, so that's this podcast. It's kind of like a Sunday drive, but way more convenient. No relatives. No parental figures, you know, from your family. It might be like, yeah, well, there's Grandpa Joe in the story. And they say, okay, well, so say, geez, if my most boring relative would describe to me for hours on end her version of Sunday drives. Oh, I remember when I... But it's not that boring. It's not that boring. Because I say, well, geez, just in case you can't fall asleep, I say, well, geez, I talked about the hickory tree with the dragon face. And then if I was... I say, well, I remember that storm like it was yesterday. It was a mild storm. So that's the podcast, basically. I'm here to help you fall asleep. I do it. I'm your boyfriend. You just fall asleep whenever you want. My goal is to have you listen to me instead of, you know, and say, okay, everybody in the brain, quiet down. Sunday drive time. We're not in charge. This guy speaking, he's narrating what's outside the windows. But the thing is, you fall asleep whenever you want. You know, there's not going to be any quiz. I'm not going to be disappointed. I'll be happy for you if you fall asleep, all right? I'm trying to think, if there's anything critical I should tell you, but there really isn't. You turn it on, see how it goes. I hope you fall asleep, all right? We're on the web, www.sleepwithmepodcast.com. You can email me at feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com. You can get me probably quicker at Dearest Scooter on Twitter. You can get me on Facebook. You can join our, you know, semi-private Facebook community. I think it's a closed community. So you say, hey, I want to join. And, we'll, you know, our moderators, Alexandra and Laura, they'll let you join. That's at Facebook. Sleep with me. Excuse me. Okay, excuse me. Let me take that back. It's sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods. And that'll take you straight to the Facebook group. No, nothing, doesn't, you know, no charge, no application process, you know. And you could join there. People talk about fun stuff there. I try to stay out of the way because you say, geez, well, you might say, did you guys, I never knew you could smell someone's breath on over the podcast, but your Scooter must not be brushing his teeth because somehow digitally. And they say, well, okay. And then poor Alexandra has to craft the email. Hey, Scooter, you know, positive point one. Oh, by the way, I was just in here talking to my dentist, and they were telling me about this thing called halitosis. You might have heard of it, you know, coffee. And poor, you know, could you brush your teeth, okay? Positive point two. Have a great day. So she'll take care. Alexandra or Laura will take care of it, letting me know about my breath or anything else. So you don't got to worry. You go there, you talk about whatever you wish. That's a Facebook group. You can comment on the website. I'd love to hear from you. this weekend. It's Sunday night now. I'm doing the opening tonight, and then I'm going to try to... I don't know how I'm going to get the episode done for Tuesday, but if you're listening to this on Tuesday, I got it done. I've been under the gun. A lot going on. Just regular life stuff. And so, and then it's like, I already cut it close with the podcast, so... But what was my point? I actually had a point in there. And oh, so sorry if I'm behind and getting back to people. It's just been busy, 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 busy. I got a wedding coming up here this week for somebody. And other stuff. So, but you know, living life, when I can. I mean, honestly, I was in situations, one, two, possibly three, where I had to talk to, work on my social skills. So it's been great, being busy and having to be a lot of stretching this past 2 months or something. So, I'm a bit like saltwater taffy, but this will be my last. What flavor of saltwater taffy is Scooter? But plain. He's definitely not butterscotch, but because we like him. But he's an acquired taste like butterscotch or anise. But nowhere near, you say, well, geez, I had some taffy. What color was the taffy? A taupe. I think it was a taupe. It wasn't white. It was a taupe taffy. So that's me, taupe taffy of bedtime. You could chew me all night. I won't get stuck in your hair. Won't mess up your teeth. It's like infused with the melatonin-like tones of my Ferroni Frone, which I don't even know what I mean, but I'm glad you're here. And the main thing is I hope I help you fall asleep, all right? Thanks for being here. All right, thank you. So I want to thank Chris Posty Posterson for his music. He does the theme music for the podcast. He's got a podcast, Sounds Like an Earful, over at soundslikeanearful.com. I want to thank Scotty and Jennifer. They do our artwork. Scotty and Jennifer are helping out. We're getting the T-shirts ready to go. For all you interested in the T-shirts, we got to thank Scotty and Jennifer. Without them, wouldn't be possible. Also, Cisco Bunny's advising me on, like, how T-shirts, what kind of, she's our T-shirt sales expert. And the T-shirts will be on sale June 15th, tentative sales date. So it'll be on sale June 15th, so 21 days after that, which I don't know. So July, right before the 4th of July, they'll be no longer on sale. And that'll be at sleepwithmepodcast.com/shirt or shirts. So thank you, Scotty and Jennifer. I want to thank Alexander and Laura that run our Facebook group over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods. I want to thank some people over on Twitter. I heard from Fork Runner. And I said to myself, what in the fork? I feel like it's been a year since I talked to Fork Runner. And I haven't even had time to check in with Fork Runner. Shrug Vegan, we heard from. And Shrug Vegan, if you're getting this, feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com, and I can tell you all about the setup for the podcast. Also on Twitter for me, our long-term buddies, Eli, Rebel, Silvertone, Tawny, Words or Birds, Kimberly T. Got a nice message from Kathy C. over on Facebook. I get another message from Summer over on Twitter. I want to thank Jennifer, Alexandra, and Laura for her comments on my laundry. That was nice. And I want to thank everybody that's interested in participating in the Sleeper Summer. 2015 is going to be a Sleeper Summer, so I want you to start, especially if you have a blog. You don't have to, I'm not looking for promotion for the podcast here. I want to think about how you can, and I want to figure out how to encourage other people. Sleeper Summer, we're going to get people finishing projects they started, starting projects they've wanted to start, and just celebrating things they love. 2015, right? 2015 is the year of the Sleeper Summer, awake, some things to be awake for are sleepers when you say it, and you know, not for sleeping. It's like, oh, something you missed out on or you've been sleeping on. So thank you, and thank you all for your constant, you know, interactions and everything like that. But really, I gotta grab a box because I just got back. I finally got to the post office when it was, you guys are unbelievable. So I finally got to the post office when it was open, which I've been in, because I went this week. It was like, Jesus, we took everything out because it was too full. And I said, oh dear, this is going to be some sort of mail, you know. And I said, I hope I didn't hurt anybody's feelings, because if somebody said, hey, I just sent you something, this is the downsides of not having a vehicle. But I said, I'll get there. And you freaking guys, so hold on, I'm going to pause. Well, I won't even pause it so you can hear me reaching here. Oh, wait, I got to get up, so I'll have a pause it. Okay, so this might not be that sleepy, because there's going to be a little side noise here. I'll try to cut out as much of it as I can. But so I get to the post office today, and I got to wait. And usually the post office manager or somebody, they get your packages for you, but not today. So I'm waiting patiently in line, and there's a stack of freaking letters there, and it'd be like boxes and bags of stuff. And I said, what the hell did I... I said, are you sure this isn't the Sleep with Sal podcast? You know, the one about the guy that's really... And they said, no, it's you. And I double-checked, and I said, so, you guys are freaking unbelievable, really. So, I get to the post office, so we can paint the picture. Oh, wait, I just painted the picture. And then I just got home, and I said, it's Monday afternoon. I just got to the post office before they close. I get home, and I had a car share car, and I said, we drop the bikes off, return the car, run back here. And then I say, oh boy, I got some boxes to open and letters to open, and I've gotten some wonderful things in the mail from some of you guys. But if something tells me there's some sort of conspiracy going on about my cold here. Because that's so, I'm trying to figure out how to do this. Because, again, this is like the third time in a row, I think, in a good way. I was like, oh, I was going to talk about something tonight. Now we're not going to be talking about that. We're going to go in another direction. But let me pause it, and then I'll thank everybody. And then, hold on one second. Well, how about this? We'll make a little deal, because I want to roll this into a story. I'm going to thank everybody that sent me something. And then I'll figure out a way to say what they sent me after. So I got something from Shebby, our buddy Shebby. I got something from Kimberly A. I got something from Kim and Bubba. And Bubba said, oh, geez, Kim, check on Scooter. Julie G, I got something for. I got something from Julie R. You know, I don't think they're related. Julie and Julie. And I got something from Jennifer. Now she be helping us out with the t-shirts, her and Scotty, but she's sending me stuff in the mail. Holy mackerel. But so I'm thinking is I'm going to fold this all into a story, and we'll just see how it goes. It'll just be like a trending Twitter Tuesday. It'll be a trending tea Tuesday. Trending... Because this is tea related. So what else starts with a T? I was teed. But anyway, it's going to be trending teed Tuesday. And I'll probably think of something more witty. But I'm going to pause it. And then I'm going to prep my randomization of these items. And I'll be right back. So it's strange. I feel like a cup of warm tea right now. I actually feel like a bit, so it's like the hottest day of the year here so far. And I also feel like having a cup of warm tea. But I think it's time for a story. And I was thinking of this one story I heard just recently. I think I don't know if it was a story. You know me, I get a little confused. I said, geez, is that a story or a fairy tale? Or what's the other one? Parable? Or what? You said there's another one. I said, you tell it to kid. A fable? Is it a fable? And they said, shut up. I'm trying to tell you a story. And I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Was it a... I'm just trying, you know, positive an audience member here. I mean, so that person refused to tell me their story. But then I wandered on. Where was I? I don't even remember. It felt like a, what was it, a bog? Or a, what is that called? I felt like it was in the Highlands of Scotland. And I was wandering around, and I met this, that person wouldn't tell me a story. They were a pleasant-looking young person. But then I ran into this grouchy old man, and he was working on something. It was really hard working, but he was old. He had some sort of hat on, a beard, a very serious man, high sock wearer. He had a kilt, but I was more focused on his high socks. I said, geez, that, well, it kind of defeats the purpose of the kilt if your socks are that high. And he just gave me a look, and I was like, what are you? I said, sir, afternoon, just here wandering in the Highlands. And he said, oh, you're a Highland wanderer. And I said, well, general wanderer. I prefer, you know, wanderer. Yeah, I'm a wanderer. You know, I wander around and around and around and around and around. Well, yeah, but I just happened to be wandering the Highlands. I'm in search of a story. And he said, oh, you're a searcher. Yeah, well, no. I'm trying to make up like I was about to get a story back there from this guy. Never mind, I don't want to tick you off, too. But I said, I was about to get a story, and then I didn't get a story. I said, well, geez, I got a podcast to do, and I'm going to need a story for it. And I said, and he was working really hard. He was bent over in between these rocks that were. And I said, you don't mind me asking, what are you doing? He said, working. Well, okay, let's see. Okay, yeah, it looks like you're working hard. Working a hobby or working a career? And he slapped me on the back with that one. And he said, don't we? Well, we all wish we had the answer to that one. And I said, well, clearly, what exactly are you? He said, I'm cracking jokes here. I'm a joke cracker. And I said, okay, wait, let's see. I must be in Scotland. I'm pretty sure there's no language Scottish, but English, I know. I think they speak English. And I was like, well, geez, quaint words. I said, is this a colloquialism or joke cracker? And I said, can I take, he said, no, it's a trade. You can't look in the stone circle. And I said, you know, I'm a story forger. Well, plush story forger. He said, you forge stories, forgeries, story forgeries. And I had a good, I said, well, that's a pot. I said, you have a, could you set aside your cracking of jokes? Sir, I said, what should I call you? And he said, call me Aberdeen. And I said, Lord Aberdeen? And he said, just call me Aberdeen. And I said, if I'm going to put all, I said, that's a lot of syllables. I might as well just call you Lord Aberdeen. It doesn't really, or can I call you Dean? So you don't look like a dean. That seems pretty Americanized. Aber's not very, Ab's no good. Aberdeen, Abadoo. How about Abadoo? And he said, Abadon't. And I said, I think that's already from a movie, but I said, all right, Abs. I said, I don't know what you rocking under that vest. I said, is that a wool vest? It's kind of high. He said, pull up a stone. And there happened to be two stones by each other, rounded, you know, rough stones like you'd find in the Highlands of your dreams, where you'd expect to find a man with high. He said, are you going to narrate my story? I said, sorry, it's just a force of habit. And he said, I have a tale for you, my friend. He goes, it's a dark tale. And I said, did it take place in the highlands? He said, no, it took place in the lowlands. And I said, well, geez, what goes on in the lowlands? I said, it seems like all the action in Scotland is in the highlands. He said, okay, well. He said, close your eyes. I want you to picture a family of frogs, spotted Scottish frogs. And I said, they're the most friendly frogs you could ever imagine. It was a family of three, a mother and two sons. And these frogs had been frozen into a ceramic-like prison, and they lived just on the edge of bog country, in a little country house, on a shelf looking out a window, never to be touched. And all the children, he goes, and I was one of these children. This was the house of my Nana. And I said, oh, you call her Nana too? And he goes, no, he goes, we called her Nana Ginger. And I said, ah, Nana Ginger, that's a nice, could I just call her Ginger? He glared at me. And he goes, we used to always say, you know, Nana, could we play with Nana Ginger, right? He said, And he breathes deep again. And I said, I find it best, you know, for people that I'm telling stories, that's telling stories to me, you know, take a Zen-like attitude. Look at me, like, be the story. Be the listener. Even though you're the teller, also be the listener. And he said, a Zen-like state, huh? And he said, Tazow! And he, like, faked, and I jumped off my rock. And I said, whoa, this guy, was that you just crack a joke on me? Or joke cracked? And he patted the stone I got back on. And he said, so we used to always ask my Nana, Nana Ginger, you know, can we play with those frogs? And she said, no, that's where the frogs will stay until the day they're rescued away. And he said, you know, he goes, it looked like a tea set. And he goes, I always used to dream of making some tea and sitting in the floor of the kitchen and of Nana's house. And he goes, because it was in the lowlands and it would get humid and cold. And, you know, he goes, it was horribly chilly. I said, yeah, I know, I'm familiar with San Francisco summers, the Bay Area summers. So he said, oh, exactly. And he goes, one night Nana fell ill. And he goes, so she was in bed. I said, well, this is my chance. All my other siblings and my cousins, they were away at the summer festival. But I was left to care for my Nana. Nana Ginger. And he winked like he knew I was waiting for him to say Nana Ginger. And he goes, well, I think this is my time to have some tea out of these frogs. And so he said he made himself a pot of tea. And as soon as he poured the water into the tea, the biggest, the mother frog, he said, looks like just like a giant tea kettle. Or tea. He goes, you know what I mean? I said, yeah, those tea thing. Teapot. And he said, yeah. So he said, so go ahead. And I said, I'm a little teapot. Like a frog so stout. Here is my, and he said, okay, let me get back to my story. And he said, so he goes, as soon as I put the water in my water into the teapot, my Nana screamed out in pain. And she said, and he goes, and she stopped. And he said, and then I added some tea. And I said, what kind of tea you drinking as a kid? Because I was like, he said, Scottish tea. And I said, okay, say no more. I don't trust you. I said, did it fill the room with a fragrant scent of Scottish tea? And he said it did. He said, it reminded me of my grandpappy. And I said, what was your grandpappy? He said, Grandpappy Jim Ginger. And I said, oh, yeah, okay. And he said, yeah, so it was a good smell. And he goes, but then my Nana cried out. He goes, and then I saw her. She was standing in the doorway, and she was crying out in pain. And she said, "What are you doing?" And I said, Nana Ginger, I'm making some tea. And she said to me, "No, these aren't teapots and cups. Even though they look at it, they're poor. They're our family." And he goes, this is a terribly sad tale. But he goes, "Many years before my mother had disappeared, and my two brothers, for we lived in a land," and I said, "Wait, this is taking a little bit of a turn." And he said, trust me, this is the tale of the Lowlands. This is how we tell the tales in the Lowlands. And I said, I said, you don't have any American relatives, do you? Because I said, this is really, like I tell me, you know, they say it's like a long second act, no first act, you know, no client, you know. He said, that's how you guys do it too? He goes, sometimes we just do a first act and then, you know, bada ba boom, the end. And then I said, are you joke cracking? He held his hand for me to go. So, and I did, because he was a wizened man in a kilt and high socks that had refused to go down. I said, "Wow, those are some powerful assets." I said, "I wonder if that's like a lamb's intestine or something inside those socks, keeping them so tight." But he said, "This is your mother and your two brothers." And Nana said to her, he said, as Nana said to him, and she said, "Why?" And she poured out the water and filled it with cool water. And he said, "Then suddenly my Nana began to change from a Nana Ginger into a bird." And I was like, "Whoa, wait, what kind of bird?" He goes, "A purplish bird, a resplendent purple bird with purple hair, giant wings." And I said, "Grandma, Nana Ginger, who are you?" And she said, "I am Grace the Phoenix, a goddess and former queen of the High Lowlands." And I said, "You almost said Highlands." He said, "Yeah, we get a thing with the Highlands, you know, inferiority complex." And he goes, "Just wait." And he says, she started to kiss it. And he goes, "Then I started to realize she was serious. You know, she changed into a bird. This could be my mother and my brother, you know." And I said, "Nana, what is happening? I'm so confused." And he says, "She told me, you know, that we were spirit people and we had lived in the lowlands for a time before man. And as this man came, you know, it pushed its way onto the lowlands. But for the time, all of time, the spirits of the lowlands and the spirits of the highlands have been at war." And he goes, "An evil warrior loved your mother one time, a warrior from the highlands named Coco Spice." And I said, "Coco Spice?" And he said, "Yes, Coco Spice. He was a powerful warrior. And when your mother refused to love him, he promised he would. She scorned him. She said he was too much of a warlike warrior who loved only war. And he swore he would have your mother. But your mother fell in love with your father, Aberdeen. And first she had two older boys, and they were a happy family. But then war fell across the lowlands and the highlands, and Coco Spice and his army invaded. And your father was sent out to fight with the warriors. Your father was a powerful wizard. And he said, Aberdeen said, was my father, should I call you Grandma Spice, Nana Spice? Wait, Nana Grace, Nana Ginger. She said, do not worry, my son. Your father went out to defend the lowlands. His name, we never speak of him, and I know it's been hard for you, but his name was True Lemon. and he joined the armies that rose up against Coco Spice. And for a while, the two armies fought, mostly thumb wrestling and a lot of things, but Coco Spice had sworn he would capture your mother and set an example for the people of Lowland, that the Lowland people and the women of the Lowland people couldn't choose to love who they wanted to love, but that people like Coco Spice that had the power and were used to choosing, you know, I'm from the Highlands, and I'm a powerful warrior. I choose, I decide. He said the war will, and he unleashed a powerful weapon. What kind of weapon, you know, that's what he said. What kind of weapon did it unleash, Grandma, Nana, Ginger Grace? I said, what if we just call her Ginger Grace? Nana Ginger Grace. Nana Ginger. And he said, shush, I'm telling the story. I said, okay, I'm sorry. Powerful, grumpy dinosaur rose out from the peat bogs of this this place that ran down the center of the spiritual Scotland. Many people would say, oh, this is not true. There is no dividing line between the Lowlands and the Highlands. Some would even say, oh, this is nonsense, but I was there. And a grumpy dinosaur who took on the armies of the Lowlands with its powers of grump. And I said, so she's dinosaurs in Scotland. So that's a whole thing. See, you should crack some jokes about that, joke cracker. And a tear ran down his eye. So, this must be a true story. And then he went back into his Nana Coco. No, it wasn't Coco Spice Nana. It was Nana Ginger Nana Grace, I think. And he said, grumpy dinosaur came across all the Lowlands and sent all the soldiers to the place beyond the spirit world. And she said to me, Aberdeen, your mother rose up as the men were sent to the place beyond the spirit world. And I said, that sounds like an intent. He said, quite. The place, your mother, she was a powerful worker, of a sorceress, if you will. And she went to see Coco Spice, would conquered lands. And she said, you have taken my true lemon from me. And her two young sons were there. And she was with child with you, Aberdeen. And she said, I call upon you to cease, Vic Coco Spice, with your warring and you're destroying and your grouchy dinosaurs. And she said, I'm calling on a spell. I'm taking a fusion of the green of the earth and the white of the high Scottish rocks. And she called upon those powers deep, deep within the earth, deep within the earth of our isle. I said, Scotland, are you sure Scotland's an isle? I said, shh, I live here. And I said, you don't even have a Scottish accent. Okay. And as the power descended into the heavens, a storm came and raged and struck down many of Coco Spice's most powerful soldiers. And Coco Spice yelled, he said, I will never cease to make war until you are mine. And she said, I will never be yours, for I call upon the sleepy cloud. And then a cloud swirled down and surrounded all of the men. And all the men fell asleep, but it was only a temporary thing. And then the people of the Lowlands said to, they said to your mother, they were very upset. They said, when they awake, they will continue. Why cannot you marry Coco Spice? Do what is best for your people. And your mother, she was torn between her love of her people and her love of her own right to choose her destiny. And she was so angry, she yelled and yelled. And now I had gone away far, far away, and many other, you know, as a bird goddess woman. You know, that's why your mother has power. You know, your grandpa, pappy, he's a human. I'm a goddess, you know. And I came to the land, and I came to her cry. She was angry with me and every other spirit. And she said, fetch me my husband. And I said, he is beyond the spirit world. I cannot fetch him for you. And besides, you know, just like, and we you know, we're powerful women. We always say, no. And she said, mother. And she told me everything that had happened. I said, oh, you humans, I just wish. You know, Pappy Jinjo, he was a lovely. I said, well, he's a charmer. He was a little bit of a sex pot, that Pappy Jinjo. And he, you know, he was smooth as I said, oh, she's these humans. But I said, what would you have me do? And she said, Frigg, you're a goddess, mother. Why don't you? I call on my most powerful spells. And all I could do was put these people to sleep. If I had the power to force peace, I would. But I cannot go with this warlike warrior, Coco Spice. And that was the first time I said, Coco Spice, that's a nice little ring to it, Coco Spice. And I, as your grandmother, I called upon the magic. I said, I could protect you from this Coco Spice. And one day you will have someone that could rise up and defend you. But know that the only way to hide you is to hide myself. So I will not be able to free you. And she said, mother, I do not want you. Just do it. And I used my power to freeze your mother and her brother so they would not be deal with this Coco Spice. I turned them into a teapot and teacups, and I would become your grandma Ginger. And yes, your mother, she delivered you as a child before she became fully frozen in ceramic. And I had my hand up, but Aberdeen already knew the question. I said, he asked Grandma Ginger Grace. He said, so I'm a frog, not a man. And she said, you are a frog man. And I now give you the quest to free your mother. I said, when did this happen? Because I said, this happened, and now you're a joke cracker. You're just in the middle of these. And he said, hold on. And I said, I'm trying, man. And he said, my grandmother said, only you. He goes, you burned your insides to your mother, I think. I don't know what heat does to ceramics, but I know is it not right drinking out of your mother's a strange thing for a boy. And good thing you didn't drink out of your brother's. They'd probably, I said, well, he said, this is your mother, and these are your brothers. And I know this is terribly confusing to you because you thought I was just your great Nana Ginger. You didn't know I was a goddess. And I cannot return to be a goddess unless you go to a kingdom far away. Where? Far in the highlands. Just on the edge of the spirit world lives Coco Spice's daughter in a castle defended by a dragon. And you must go there. And inside that castle, sleeping in a deep, deep slumber, is a bear. And the bear is dressed like a man. He looks just like a man. You must get past the dragon. You must get past the queen, Coco Spice's daughter. Probably warlike. I don't know. I've been hiding out, so I have not dealt with these upper-class people. What do you? You must get past them. And they keep deep in the dungeon, a very luxurious dungeon, because they keep the bear at slumber. But if you awake that bear, who lives in a deep tropical Reich Sunder, he will awake and he will bellow so loudly that my power will return. And the spell I cast can only be broken by the bellowing of an awakened bear. For it will reawaken my power like a phoenix, and it will shatter the spell that keeps your mother and your brothers both prisoners and safe in the irony of defending them from Cocoa Spice. And Aberdeen said nanogram of ginger. Is this all? What happened to Cocoa Spice? And she said he rose in power to rule both the spirit world and the human world of Scotland. Not as we know it, you know, this, we live in an illusion controlled formerly by Cocoa Spice, who became so powerful he tried to call on the powers of dragons from around the world, from all sorts of universes. And then he rose, he got the most powerful dragon to destroy the rest. And that dragon and Cocoa Spice planned on ruling the world forever. He was still searching for your mother. And he would ride the dragon around the world. And he did have a child. And I said, was it a child with a dragon? Or, as Aberdeen said, I don't know. He had a lovely daughter. But at some point, the dragon got tired of flying around, and his daughter grew older. The daughter and the dragon became friends, and the dragon taught the daughter the ways of... She taught the daughter about pointless quests, in letting people choose or making them think they choose, instead of just a standoff, as the father was known, to force his will on the... And there was many people that had made their gripes with the dragon, including all the dragons the dragon took out. And the dragon has said, geez, I took it, I would have liked to have a dragon to hang out with, and now I'm the only one. And maybe the dragon had some secret agenda. But then the dragon destroyed Cocoa Spice, and now Cocoa Spice's daughter, you know, rules the kingdoms. And I said, Aberdeen, she half bad, is she good or bad or war? And he said, I only knew I had to go into that castle, get past the dragon, past the daughter, into the depths of the castle, and awake the bear. And I said, interesting, okay. So what happened next? He said, well, I'm about to tell you. He said, I endured a long quest to reach that castle, across the lowlands, across the highlands, through many, many small challenges, getting lost and dealing with trolls that said, follow my riddles three, and unicorns who lost their horns. And I say, well, I thought those horns were, aren't those permanent? And he said, oh, yeah, this is a spirit. And I said, oh, so if it's a spirit world, is it a metaphor? Or is it something that really happens? They said, what about those guys, the horse guys, you know, half man, half horse? Oh, yes, I faced many of those. Yes, I did. I had to tame because I got to get to the point here. Yeah, and I said, okay, well, you know, I'm just, you know, probing your story for more good stuff. This is good stuff. And he said, well, that was what I was thinking, is I needed some good stuff to get past the dragon. And on my quest, every quest, I said, what would you do? They said, oh, you've bested us. You've bested the trolls. You've bested us bog boggers. You've bested us, horsemen. You've found our missing unicorn horns. I said, one more. Can you play a unicorn horn when it's not on its head? He said, yes, you can. It makes a sound too beautiful for us to hear, I think. I couldn't hear anything. Everyone else was weeping. I said, hey, but she said, what a ripoff, huh? And he said, oh, it saves you recovery from, you know, being upset. Well, it's okay. And he said, after I solved all of those quests, and many more quests, you know, too many quests to describe to you with your questions, so many, they would say to me, oh, yes, and I'd say, well, what advice would you have for a young man? Oh, I said, this was when you were young. See, I just, for some reason, I thought this just happened. Every one of my stories got this, where the character, they give me a look like I did. So sorry about that, you were about... He said, as I was saying I said, what would you give advice to a young man who had to face a dragon? And they said, I wouldn't even know better. And he said, they would all laugh and say, good luck. But he said, the horseman said, bring a cougar. And I said to myself, what do you mean, bring a cougar? And they said, bring a cougar as a gift for it to eat. And I said, ooh, it's a interesting idea. I said, do you think the dragon would appreciate that? And if they said, yeah, there's many benefits to feeding a dragon a cougar. Many downsides to trying to catch a cougar, though. And then they had a laugh and they trotted off. And I was, at that time, I was close to the border. The border of borders. Where the castle stood, you could see it for miles away. Now, is it a foreboding castle or we were inviting? And he said, I was filled with foreboding when I looked at how inviting it was. And he goes, I began to ask the people about the queen, and they said, oh, Queen Coco Spice. And he said, that created even more foreboding. And I said, I'll be honest with you, Aberdeen, it's probably, other than Coco Fallout, I said, does she have a daughter, Coco Fallout? And I said, because Coco Spice is so titillating of a name, Coco Spice. And he sighed. I said, I guess he agrees. Coco, what do you think about Coco Fallout? And he said, Coco Fallout. What is Coco? What is Fallout? And I said, well, Jesus, you're the joke cracker. Like, you know, when you're sitting on a rock, you said, that's fall off. Coco fall off. And I said, okay, just get back to you're looking at the castle. I was filled with, and he goes, I did catch myself saying many times, Queen Coco Spice. He goes, but the lands, they were peaceful. The people, they seemed determined to do their duty, and they would give a percentage of their things to keep the castle and the dragon fed. He said, the land, the last town before the castles, the castle was surrounded by a giant jungle. Scottish jungle, huh? A giant jungle where I knew I could find a cougar, but I had no idea how to catch a cougar. If you catch him, if he hollers, let him eeny meeny, catch a tiger by the toe. He said we could catch a tiger by the toe. If he hollers, don't let him go in your case. Catch a cougar by the toe. It doesn't really go. And I said, well, Jesus, did you get any advice on it? And he said, no. So I stayed for some time, and I said, I made small talk with strangers. And I said, oh, that is quite the jungle surrounding that castle of Queen Coco Fallout. And I said, you cracked a joke on me there, joke cracker. And he said, Queen Coco Spice. And I said, I wonder if that is filled with cougars, that jungle. Or tigers or beasts. And they said, it is filled with some cougars. And, you know, it's a biodiverse area protected by the queen for its diversity of creatures. It's a binome or some such thing. And so people are forbidden to muck about in there. And I said, well, is there any natural selection or natural, say, she says, populations grow and wane that ever sends the cougars outside of the, outside there to look for food. And he said, I asked that question to every person. And he goes, one day I came across a man who said to me, yes, sir, well, there was one time long ago where the cougars roamed. It was the population of skinks and other cougar foods had collapsed. He said it was due to King Coco Fallout's last dragon purge. That was the reason the queen declared it a binome, leave it alone. And I said, you're an old man, what did you do to protect your family from cougars? And he said, well, I'm an alchemist, and in my spare time, I made up a cougar tranquilizer to put the cougars to sleep, and then I would drag them back into the forest. And, usually they get eaten by other cougars, but they would be, they would be away from my place. And it worked probably, some point that reduced the population of the cougars, restoring the, and I said, oh, yeah, they would have starved anyway, very merciful in some sense. And I said, getting eaten by a cougar as a cougar while you're asleep? And he said, that's just like an American do-do. And I said, sorry, but yeah, it is. Yeah, totally. And he said, so I said, can you make me some of this cougar tranquilizer? And he said, I can. And I said, how powerful can you make it? And he said, what are you planning on doing? And I said, I need it for the biggest cougar ever made. And this man said, what is that? And he said, what are you up to, boy? And I was honest with him. I said, I am not going to let sleeping bears lie. And he said, you're going to awaken the bear, eh? He goes, well, I have some ceramic family here. I recognize you as a ginger. And I said, well, I guess I am a ginger. I'm confused. I may be a frogman. Probably I'm a frogman, so I'm not sure if it might be a grace. And he said, anyway, yeah, and he cooked me up some cougar tranquilizer. And then I took the cougar tranquilizer, I caught a skink, I coated it into cougar tranquilizer, quad-tensile strength. And the cougar fell asleep, it was still... And I said, Jesus, you're getting right to the end, aren't you? He said, of course I am. And the cougar, then I coated the cougar in some cougar tranquilizer, and I threw it over my shoulders. And then I put the cougar around my neck. It was snoring and drooling. And I went out, walked to the castle, and then the dragon. I thought it was a bridge, believe it or not. It looked like a green bridge. I was about to step on it, and the dragon's lifted up. And it said, what are you doing, sir? And I said, I'm out for a walk. I've found some strange things in the binome down there. Someone left behind this cougar warmer. And he said, what is a cougar warmer? I said, it's like a cougar, but it does not bite. It just you wear it, it keeps you warm. And I said, I think it's a cougar that, I don't know, it's an extra tasty cougar, I believe. And he said, the dragon said, well, clearly the cougar is ill. And I said, no, it's just not ill, it's resting, I was kidding. It was sleeping, and he said, you were able to pick it up and carry it without awaking cougar? And I said, well, no, yeah. And he said, well, there's a... And I said, yeah, well, yeah. And he said, clearly this cougar is ill. And I said, I knew dragons were intelligent, but not as intelligent as you. I'll tell you what, my dragon friend, are you a friend of the biodiversity down there? And the dragon said, the one I serve is... And I live to serve her, so yes, I am a fan of the biodiversity down there in the jungle. the Scottish jungle. And I told the dragon, I said, well, by the way, what's your name? And he said, my name is Stash. And I said, that's a popular name for dragons, isn't it? And he said, it may be. I don't know any other dragons. I defeated them all, so it's the only dragon in Scotland. And I said, well, you think you got a problem with people putting cougars to sleep? You have an ill cougar problem down there in your biodiversity. And I'm just trying to help you figure it out as a good citizen of, I'm from far away, but I was just out wandering. And the dragon said, well, I will need to check with the queen. And I said, well, how good is your tasting, dragon? Would you be able to tell? How's your dragons and cougars cross-share diseases? And the dragon Stash laughed. I said, no, of course not, we don't. And I said, well, I said, Jesus, and what about, was there anything, you couldn't catch it? I said, could you taste it? Would it taste terrible if it was sick? Or would you be able to say, well, Jesus, it's just sick. I can feel a little fever in there. It's not a bad taste. I said, what's the flavor of a fevered cougar compared to, a fluish cougar? Or the equivalent. You see, you've seen your human friends get sick before. Do dragons get sick? And Stash laughed again. It was like, he said, well, gee, maybe I'll take a try. That's a great idea. And I said, then we could tell your queen together. We could work on solving the problem. I just happened to I work in a forest down in the lowlands. And then the dragon said, in the lowlands, we don't dare. And then he said, into a cat. And then it was, taken prisoner by the dragon. And they said, you ought to wait in our prison for trial by Queen Coco Spice. And I was never more afraid. I was just a boy, man, a boyish man. And I said, they didn't send you down to the same cell, and then you just woke the bear up, and that ended the story, right? And he said, that would be convenient, but no, I'm afraid that there is a second part to this tale. And I said, well, so you can't finish it in the next cut? And he said, no. I'd have to tell you how I became a joke cracker, a cracker of joke. I said, well, I was more interested in the ceramic frog part of the story. And wasn't there a T ending with T? Well, you'll have to return here to this. So I'm going to spend the night, I guess, spend the night. You say you can spend the night with me. He said, but you're a frog pretending to be a human, correct? You won't know until I conclude the story, my friend. So come, let's return to my home. A home built by, I cannot tell you, but you can have a glass of tea with me. Would you have anything that's imbued with the essence, like an actual fake something? I want to drink out of something that hasn't been a person or a animal person, frog, lizard person before. Oh, yes, I would never serve you out of one of my family. And so then we return to his little, beautiful little country house, and we gather around the fireplace, and we had some tea. We had some sleepy tea and some cloud tea. He actually had this thing called cloud tea. I don't know. I think it was some kind of kit he bought on the internet where he just poured clouds. And then we were chatting, and I said, this is cracking jokes, because he was, it's drinking a cloud here. So he said, that's not a joke. Well, yeah, so I guess I'll try to finish this story up in the next couple episodes. But, that's a little bit about the tale. T-Tuesday, whatever it's called. But if you guys didn't send me that tea, and I would say, Jesus, someone behind all this, Or did you guys send it? That's the other question. Or did you send it like individually? So, we'll be back soon with either part two or another episode and then part two. All right, good night. Hey guys, I'm not sure how I'm going to edit this episode. So I don't know when you're going to be hearing this. But I just want you to know the following or the preceding episode story is brought to you by some secret Tiantas, Jennifer B, Kimberly A, Julie R, Kim and Bubba F, Julie G, and Chevy MCC, and Chevy also made a donation on behalf of us to Beyond Blue, a charity for depression and mental illness that I'll link to in the show notes. So, thank you. Jeez, thank you. Thank you guys so much. It really makes me feel things, special things. And really touching. And I know probably there's other you involved in this, behind this sort of nonsense, which is wonderful nonsense. And also I took a picture, and of course, I don't know what the hell the picture of the stack of stuff did not take. But thank you. Thank you so much. And you're either hearing this at the end of the episode or the beginning. I don't know when. All right.